Hi guys, welcome to Patrice LaSalle's podcast. I am your girl, Patrice LaSalle. I'm excited to be back with another episode. If you are a first-time listener, I want to say welcome. I'm so honored. I'm excited that you are joining me today. If you are a returning listener, I just want to say I love you. I'm super grateful for you, and I really appreciate you. So I wanted to share something today that is my favorite topic in the whole world, which is prayer. Like, if prayer was a love language, I know they have the five love languages. I think prayer is my love language. And so I just want to share a few tips on prayer today with you guys. Things that I personally do in my own prayer life, things that have helped me over the years to help me build a prayer life that what I feel that, you know, I'm not just praying for out of habit or routine or because it makes me a good Christian, but I'm actually at a place where I get to commune with my Father. I get to talk to Him and I get to feel like I'm certain that He hears me. So I just want to talk about prayer. One of the things that I feel like one of the myths that a lot of people, that a lot of Christians believe is that everyone knows how to pray. And I want to say that everyone does not know how to pray. And it's biblical for me to say that because what happened when you read the New Testament, you have the disciples who walked with Jesus. The disciples walked with Jesus. They were being taught by Jesus. They were being trained by Jesus. Yet the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And so that's where we get the Lord's Prayer. And He said, when you pray, you should pray like this. And He began to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're all pretty familiar with the Lord's Prayer. But why is it that the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to pray? And so Jesus began to give them a prayer formula. He said, when you pray, you should pray like this. And so one of the things we have to really understand is there is a right way to pray. And if we don't understand how to pray, then we will be frustrated with our prayer life because we don't see results in our prayer life. One of the things that I will say for myself, when I first got saved, no one sat me down to say, this is how you pray. No one sat me down to say, you know, this is what you should say. This is, you know, how you start prayer. This is how you end prayer. The only thing I knew was that because I was Christian, I needed to end my prayer in the name of Jesus. And so I felt I could pray any prayer in the whole world as long as I said in the name of Jesus that whatever I prayed is going to happen. And what ended up happening is that I became so frustrated with praying because I'm like, well, what's the point of praying? Because every time I pray, nothing happens. And so I began to get to a place where I stop asking God for stuff. I'm just keeping it all the way real. I stop asking God for stuff because whenever I would pray, you know, I would say in the name of Jesus and I would pray, I would ask God, you know, I would muster up the faith, muster up the courage to ask God for something. But when I asked Him, it didn't happen. And so I would get so frustrated that I got to the point that for years I would talk to God. I would tell Him how much I love Him. You know, I would still pray, but I wouldn't ask Him because I didn't want to be let down. I didn't want to be disappointed. I didn't want to be frustrated. So I began to pray prayers that didn't require faith. I began to pray prayers that didn't require me to ask God of anything because I didn't want to again be disappointed. So I want to share with you some of the things that I've learned over the years concerning prayer. One of the things that I love when Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So if you don't have the understanding that prayer is you as a son, as a daughter, having a conversation with your Father, that is the most important thing. I had this viewpoint. I had this picture of God, you know, being this holy, God that sits on a throne, and you know, I had a clipboard and I had to do everything right in my life and make sure I didn't make him upset. And that is the view. So I was praying to God as an orphan instead of a daughter. And when I got the revelation that I am a daughter, I am God's daughter, I am his daughter, then it shifted the way I approached him. If you think about a child in the natural, a child, you know, I don't know if you are a parent or you don't have children, but you've witnessed children and how children approach their parents when they're in need. Children don't go to their parents begging for food. They don't go to their parents begging for shelter. They don't go to their parents begging for clothing. Because if you see a child, or if you have children and your own child comes to you and they begin to cry and say, "Mommy, mommy, please feed me today," it's going to make you question yourself as a parent. It's going to make you say, "What is it that my child don't think that I will meet their everyday needs? What have I done to cause my child to see me as this unfit parent who's unwilling to make sure they have food, clothes, shelter? What is it? What have I done?" And so it makes you question yourself as a parent, like, "Oh my God, my child is afraid. They don't believe that I will make sure they have everything they need." And so that is what happens with God. We begin to cry on God. We begin to beg God. We begin to, beg God for the necessities. And the Bible says, God said, "Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, for your Father in heaven already know that you have need of those things." And so we have to move from the realm of begging God for the necessities, begging God for shelter and food and clothing, when he says, "I already know what you have need of. Don't worry about it." Stop begging God for those things. And he said, "But all I need you to do is to seek my kingdom, seek the kingdom, seek righteousness." And when you seek the kingdom of God and you seek righteousness, then all of those things will be added unto you. And so prayer, many of us, we're stuck in the level of begging God as orphans, begging God to meet our everyday needs, when God is saying, "I don't need you to waste time in prayer on those things. I need you to come out of begging me for the necessities, and you need to just be certain that I know what you need and I'm going to meet your needs. I need you to trust me with that." And now I need you to move to a realm in prayer when you begin to pray for other things besides just, "God, I need food, I need clothes, I need shelter." So I feel like many Christians, their prayer lives have become stagnant because of their viewpoint of God, that they see God. They see God. They don't see God as a father that's willing, not only willing, but will meet their needs. They see God as a father. They may not even view him as a father, but they don't believe that he will take care of them. And so their prayer life gets stuck at, "God, please, please, please pay my bills. God, please, please, please help me find some food. God, please, 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 my kids need this. We need this. God, please, please, please." So every day, waking up, begging God for the necessities, the things that he said, "Don't worry about, just focus on my kingdom, just focus on righteousness, and all of that stuff is going to be added unto you." And so Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this: "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Our Father, Jesus knew, he had a revelation that I'm praying, I'm talking to my Father. And so he taught the disciples that prayer is not just praying to God. Prayer is having a dialogue, having a conversation with your Father. "Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And so one of the things that when I pray, I don't just go into prayer and just say, "Dear God," and run a list of all of the things that I want him to do for me. And, "God, I need this. And, God, I need this. I'm believing you for this. And I need that. And I need this." And then I begin to say, "In Jesus' name, amen." Then I wake up the next day and I pray that as well. I promise you, that's how many Christians' prayer lives are. And I'm not condemning, but I'm bringing you to another revelation, a higher dimension in your prayer life, where you will begin to see things happen that it's not meant for us. The disciples, the reason they asked Jesus to pray, I believe they prayed, but when Jesus prayed, they realized that things begin to happen, that miracles begin to happen, that things, whatever Jesus asked for happened. And so the disciples are probably like, hold on, wait a minute. There's something wrong with our prayer life, because we've been praying, but nothing's happening. But Jesus, when you pray, something happens. So we need you to teach us. We need you to show us the prayer formula. We need you to show us what it is, how we should pray, because we want the same results that you have. So they said, teach us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, when you pray, pray like this. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. You should never enter into prayer without beginning to worship God. What I've discovered over the years is that when I take time, when I enter into prayer, I said, Father, I bless your holy name. I bless you. I worship you, for you are the great I am. You are the kings of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. God, that you are marvelous. You're beautiful. Oh, God, you're worthy of all the glory. You're worthy of all the praise. What I'm doing in that moment, I'm taking my eyes off of me. I'm taking my eyes off of my needs, and I'm setting my eyes on him. I'm setting my affection on him. I'm setting my attention on him. I'm beginning to stop looking at me, stop looking at my needs, stop looking at my situation. And I begin to look at the King of Kings. I set my eyes on things above and not on things of the things on this earth. And so I begin to change my perspective. I elevate my perspective and I begin to set my eyes on him. And I lay down my needs and I worship him. I lay down my needs and I reverence him. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Your name is great. Your name is mighty. Your name, you are a strong tower. The righteous runneth and they find safety in you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That there's none before you. There will be none after you. And you know what happens when we begin to praise him, when we begin to give him the glory, that God says, I inhabit the praises of my people. So wherever we begin to give God the praise, that God says, I inhabit it. That means that God begins to step in our midst. The presence of God begins to surround us, and he begins to show up. When we praise him, when we worship him, we extend the invitation for God to come and visit us. Our praise and our worship is an invitation to God. And so a lot of times the reason people, they pray and they feel like my prayer life, it's dry. Nothing happens. What's the purpose of praying when every time I pray that nothing happens? But when you begin to start prayer off with worship, when you begin to start prayer off, I'm not saying you got to go and put on your favorite worship song. All I'm saying, the Bible says that our mouths are instruments. So when we begin to just open our mouth, which is an instrument, and just bless his name, that alone is worship. Jesus, sorry, y'all, I'm in a realm and the revelation is deep. Our mouths are instruments. So I don't need to have a CD player where I can't worship God right now because I don't have, you know, I don't have a Bluetooth speaker. I don't have, you know, YouTube. I don't have access. I don't have access. So you don't need an instrument. You don't need a choir. You don't need a Bluetooth speaker. All you need is your mouth. And all you have to do is open your mouth and give him the praise. And what happens is when I do that, I'm telling God, God, you're bigger than my situation. I know I'm going through this. I know I'm in a tough spot. I know I don't have everything. I know. But God, I'm just telling you how much I love you. And what happens is God begins to look and say, look, my daughter, my son, even in the midst of their situation and circumstances, they're still giving me the glory. And one of the things that I discovered when I begin to worship God, when I begin to start off, I don't go to God with a list. I go to just worship him. I go to give him the praise. And when I do that, then God begins to speak to me. There are times I enter into prayer thinking that I'm going to pray one thing. But after I begin to bless him, God, I bless your name. I worship you. I honor you. God, you're worthy. You're worthy of all the praise. God, you're worthy of all the honor. God, I magnify your name. Oh, God, you're worthy. You're worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. As I do that, then God begins to give me downloads. He begins to say, this is what I need you to pray. This is how I need you to pray. This is what I need you to say. This a scripture may drop in my spirit. There may be something that some person, someone that God says, pray for this person. And so what happens is God shows me what to pray. And I realize that when I begin to pray, what God tells me to pray, there is a manifestation that things begin to happen. Things begin to move. And I'm convinced that many of us go into prayer with an agenda that heaven is not backing up, because that's not the agenda of heaven. When Jesus said, when you begin to pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus, after he gave God the praise, he began to pray the will of God. He began to pray for the will of God to happen. Jesus didn't pray what he wants. He said, Jesus, God, I need your kingdom to come. God, I need your will to be done on earth, because God's will is already being done in heaven. So God, Jesus began to pray that the will of God that's happening in heaven, that it begins to happen here on earth. And so you and I have to understand that when we're praying, we're not just praying, because the Bible says that you can pray amiss. There are some times that you can actually pray amiss. You're praying, and that's why some of us are frustrated, because nothing is happening. And it's because we're praying amiss. But what happens when I begin to pray the will of God, then things begin to happen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. So Jesus first, he acknowledged God as Father. I'm not just praying to God. I'm talking to my daddy. I'm talking to my Father. Then he began to worship him. He began to give him the praise. He began to adore him. He began to reverence him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. He began to pray the will of God. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. After he prayed for the will of God, then he began to pray for the daily bread. He began to pray for provision for today. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, our debts, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. So Jesus began to pray for provision for today. God, give me the daily bread for today. Give me grace for today. Give me favor for today. Give me wisdom for today. Many of us were praying. But what is the daily bread for God? God, what is your daily bread for me today? What's your provision? God, give me daily bread. Give me wisdom for today. God, give me grace for today. God, give me strength for today. I'm not worried about tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll wake up and I'll begin to pray for wisdom for tomorrow. I begin to pray for grace for tomorrow. But today, give me my daily bread, God. Give me the provision I need for today. Give me my provision for today. So prayer, it's not just coming up with, like, God is not Santa Claus. We don't have to write a list and think we go sit on his lap and tell him what we want, and then he's supposed to do it. He's not. Like, God desires a connection, a relationship. He desires to commune with us. The Bible said that God wants to commune with us. And so many of us were frustrated with a prayer life, but we truly have not had an understanding or a revelation. What is prayer? How do I go to God in prayer? How do I actually pray? What do I actually pray, because there are some things that God wants to entrust you with, not just for yourself. Many of us are so selfish in prayer. All we're praying about is ourselves. We're praying about me. Bless me. Bless me. Bless me, God. Bless me, God. Bless my children, God. Bless my house, God. Bless me, 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 me. And God is like, but if you just begin to let me show you what to pray, I want you to pray for your friend that is suicidal. And I want to show you in prayer. And when I show you that your friend will be saved. Gee, there are things that God wants us to move from the realm of just praying for the things we're going to eat, the things we're going to wear, and where we're going to live. He said, because I know you need those things, but I need you to begin to move to another dimension in your prayer, where you begin to pray for those that I show you. Pray for your unsaved loved ones. Pray for your coworkers who don't know me, that you'll begin to intercede for the nation. Begin to pray for the nation. Begin to pray for your leaders, the government. Begin to pray. There are things that God, there is an agenda of heaven, and we have to move and lay aside our agenda for his agenda. And I promise you, there were times where I will begin to pray and I begin to set my prayer life on someone else. And God says, as you pray for them, I'm going to take care of everything concerning you. And so there, God is calling us to a newer dimension in prayer. I remember a few days ago or a week or so ago, I was talking to my best friend and the Lord dropped something so heavy on me. And he said that my intercessors have been distracted. They become so selfish in prayer that they're no longer interceding and praying for what I need them to pray, but all they're focused on is praying for themselves. And when he said it, it was like a weight that hit me. Not only was I convicted, I said, God, help us. Give us grace. Give us mercy. Because the enemy knows if I can keep them distracted with begging God for something that God said he's already done, then I know I can go around and wreak havoc in those people's lives, because nobody's praying. Everybody's only focused on themselves, on ourselves. And so God, he's calling us to a deeper place in prayer. Prayer is not just for us to go and tell God what we want and what we need. Yes, I agree that we're supposed to. He said we're supposed to ask. And so I believe that. But when do we move past just asking God for things that he said that we already have access to, that we already have, and we will begin to pray what he wants us to pray? When we begin to pray for those, that there is a dying world. There are people who don't know Christ. There are people who want to give up. There are people who truly need prayer. But we've so focused on ourselves, and we have to move beyond that place. And there is a right way to pray. There's a right way to pray. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He's a helper. He's a comforter. That he teaches us all things. And so when I first started praying, I went to prayer school. And when I went to prayer school, it gave me a revelation of prayer. But it still didn't show me how to begin to navigate in the spirit, how to begin to navigate where I'm praying the will of God. It was the Holy Spirit that taught me. It was the Holy Spirit that continues to teach me how to move to a newer and a deeper dimension in my prayer life, where I'm not just praying my mind, I'm not praying my thoughts, but I'm praying the heart and the mind of God. And I promise you, when I do that, I begin to feel a release, that things begin to happen. There are times where I begin to pray something in a matter of hours, a matter of days, that thing that we prayed, that thing I prayed with another person or my friends, or we begin to pray for those. We begin to pray for people around us. And within 24 hours, they had a miracle. It's another revelation. The Bible says that anything that two shall agree on, it shall be established. Anywhere that two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. So there's so many revelations on prayer that many of us, we don't truly understand. But it says anything that two shall agree on, it shall be established. There's power in praying with someone else. There's power in agreement with someone else, where you also, when there's something that needs to be expedited, there's a sense of urgency on something that you're believing God for, not just for yourself, but for someone else, that you begin to involve another person of like faith, like relationship with God, and the two of you begin to pray together on that thing. And when you do it, I promise you that things begin to happen. God is calling us to move beyond kindergarten prayers. He's calling us to move beyond selfish prayers. He's calling us beyond praying elementary level, where you and I become seasoned, where we become mature, that we're not selfish, but we have sacrificial prayer lives. Hey, Jesus. Prayer was never meant to be selfish. Prayer was never meant to be selfish, but it was meant to be selfless. It was always about, it's always about God. It's always about his agenda. It's always about what it is that he wants to do. And so I just wanted to share just a few bits on things that God has shown me over the years in my prayer life. I've seen my prayer life evolve. Even when I remember I used to have a prayer line where every week I was praying. I was praying for, I don't know, maybe a year, 2 years. And every week I would go and pray. We would pray and people would tell me how it's blessed them. And I remember I stopped the prayer line because I went to Bible school and I wanted to solely focus on Bible school and what the Lord wanted to do in me in that season. And so I paused the prayer line and I haven't been back to it yet. But even at that place, you know, I felt like I had a revelation of prayer and it was powerful, but I've seen growth. And so one of the things I love about God is that God says we go from glory to glory, that even when we think we're at a level in our spiritual walk, we think we're at a level in our prayer life, we think we're at a level in whatever area. If I think, oh, I'm at a level in this spiritual gift and prophecy, you know, God, there's always more. And God, it's based on our hunger, it's based on our desire, it's based on our availability. And when we avail ourselves to God, God begins to elevate us in the spirit. He begins to elevate and promote us, even in the spiritual things of God and the giftings and in prayer. And so there is not that you can't reach a level in prayer. That as you avail yourself to God, God is simply looking for a vessel that is available. He's looking for a person that's available, a person that's willing to sacrifice, a person that's willing to sacrifice their prayer life to begin to partner with heaven, to begin to align with heaven so that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the will of God. That's the agenda, that I go into prayer, not just so that I can pray, God bless me. God, give me a job. Give me a new job. Give me more money. No. I'm beyond that. I'm partnering. I want your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. God, what is your will? What are you trying to accomplish in this season? What are you trying to accomplish in my loved ones? What are you trying to accomplish in me? What are you trying to accomplish in my city? What are you trying to accomplish on my job? God, bring me to the place, begin to show me so that I can begin to partner with you, so that I can begin to pray your perfect will in the life, and not only in my life, but in the lives of those around me. I remember when I first started walking with God, this one time I woke up in the middle of the night, and this is one of the first times I've ever had an open vision. It was literally like my whole room turned to a movie theater. It scared me because I never had anything like that. And I saw this man. He was dressed in all white and he had almost like this hair roll. I could tell he was from some sort of like maybe Islamic country or nation. Because he had this hair. He just looked like he was from I don't know, Iraq or something, but I saw him bleeding, and it was literally like I'm watching a movie. My whole room opened up and I was awake. I wasn't asleep. Like, I was awake and I saw this. And so I just started praying for the man. Like, I could not go back to sleep. But the moment I finished praying for him, I was just praying and declaring life over him, praying that God would save him, that God will heal him. After I started praying, it stopped. And I was able to go back to sleep. And I think I prayed a prayer. I was like, God, I'm not ready for that level yet. Like, that's too much for me. So the open visions kind of ceased for a moment. And I was just like, oh, God, what was that? Like, that was scary. But I knew it was a call in the middle of the night to pray for someone I don't even know on the other side of the world who was in need. And I wonder, I'm like, how many times that there are people that God is like, I need you to wake up. I need you to pray. I need you to pray for this person. But that is the will of God. That is the agenda of heaven. And we'll miss it if we're still praying, God, bless me, 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 me. God, I need food. God, I need a new job. God, I need a new car. God, I need a new house. God, I need these shoes. God, like, yes, it's nice to have those things, but God says, don't focus on earthly possessions, but focus on eternity. That all of these things will fade away. The Bible says all of this is going to fade away, y'all. Like, we can go get a $1 million house. We can drive the baddest car. We can be walking around in red bottoms all day. But all of this stuff has no eternal value. At the end of the day, it's all going to stay here. It's not going to heaven. It doesn't matter in heaven. I can't stand before God and say, God, I had a doctorate degree. God, I accomplished this. I drove a Mercedes-Benz. I had a $1 million home. Like, that stuff has no eternal value. God, it doesn't matter. Like, God gives us those things and gives us the grace to achieve and accomplish certain things. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't help and grow his kingdom, if it doesn't bless, like, help other people, how is it blessing other people? I have a $1 million home, but how have I helped those who are homeless? Like, those are the things that matter to God. And so we have to be focused on eternity. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so God, He's realigning our value system. Sorry, I just feel that prophetically. He's realigning our value system where we're not just placing value on earthly possessions, but we're placing our value on the kingdom of God. We're placing our value on the will of God. We're placing our value on what God wants to be done. And we get to partner with him. God is God. He don't need us. Let's keep it real. Anything that God wants to do here on the earth, he's God. He created everything. He created the entire earth. He created all people. Like, if he wants to do something, he don't need us. But the fact that God says, I want to partner with you, I want to do it with you, it's an honor. It's a privilege. Like, when we begin to feel like, oh, God needs me, he don't. But the fact that he wants to use me, the fact that he wants to partner with me, the fact that he wants the miracle to happen through my hands, the fact that he wants people's lives to be transformed through me, like, that is an honor and a privilege. It's a privilege. It's an honor to get to partner with God. And so we have to never feel entitled. We never have to feel like we've reached a level with God. We never have to feel like that God needs us. No, he's God. And if we won't do it, he'll use the next person. And God is not just out here using people. No, he actually cares about our well-being. That's why he said, if you seek the kingdom, just seek the kingdom. Seek my righteousness. He didn't even say, tell us to seek our own righteousness. He said to seek his righteousness. If you look at the scripture, he don't say, seek your righteousness. He says, seek my righteousness. Our righteousness is in Christ Jesus. So God, it's not even based on my righteousness. It's based on his righteousness. So if I seek the kingdom of God, I seek his righteousness, and everything I need, he said it will be added unto you. It's already done. It's already done. So I just want to pray for the grace the grace to come upon you, that you will move to a new dimension in your prayer life, that you will shift to another level in your prayer life, that your value system will begin to shift, that you're not just focusing on earthly possessions, earthly things, but you'll begin to focus on the kingdom of God. You focus on the will of God for your life, the will of God for your city, the will of God for your nation, the will of God for your loved ones. Like, what is the will of God? And that you begin to pray for the will of God to be done. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you are calling us to a deeper dimension in prayer. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that every person that listens to this podcast episode, Father, I pray that the grace will come upon them, oh Lord, that they will move to a newer dimension in their prayer life. Father, I thank you, oh God, that every dead prayer life, Father, I pray that it's resurrected now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, that those that listen to them, that this podcast today will begin to become fervent in their prayer life. Father, I pray that you give them a spirit of fervency will come upon them, God, in the name of Jesus. That the Bible said that Jesus prayed until his sweat came like blood, that even if the Messiah, the King of Kings, that God himself prayed, how much more do you and I need to pray? Father, I pray even now that the grace to be fervent in our prayer life, let that anointing, let that grace come upon us in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you give them deeper revelation, deeper understanding in the name of Jesus when it comes to prayer. Father, I pray that you give them the desire that day and night, Father, we will wake up communing with you, that we will wake up praying, oh God, in the name of Jesus. For you said to pray always, to pray without ceasing. Oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you give us the spiritual stamina to pray, oh God, for our city, to pray for our loved ones, to pray for our nation, oh God, to pray for the will of your perfect will to be done here on earth. Oh God, I pray even now that you will raise up an army, God, of intercessors, an army, oh God, of prayer warriors, an army of watchmen, oh God, those who will pray, oh God, without ceasing, those who are willing to sacrifice time, who are willing to sacrifice sleep, oh God, for your will to be established, oh Lord. Raise us up, oh God. Give us the grace. I thank you, God, that every intercessor who has been distracted, oh God, I thank you that those distractions will be broken off of them now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, I pray in this season that they will not be distracted, oh Lord, but they will be on, oh God, that they will be focused on you, that they will be focused on your will. For you said, don't worry about what we're going to eat or what we're going to sleep or what we're going to wear. But you already know we need those things. But God, you commanded us to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. I pray that every listener will begin to seek your kingdom and seek your righteousness, oh God. And everything they need shall be added unto them in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, realign their value system. Help them, oh God, to not place their value in earthly possessions, of temporary things, of accomplishments, oh God, and possessions and things, Lord, but I pray that their values will be rooted in you, in the things of God, in the will of God, in heavenly things. Oh God, I thank you, God, that our value system will be shifted in the name of Jesus, oh God, that our hope will not be in things, our hope will not be in people, but our hope will be in you. Our hope will be in you in the name of Jesus. God, give us grace. Give them grace, oh Lord, to set their eyes on you, to set their eyes upon you in this season. Oh Father, I pray even now that you will ignite something on the inside of them. Stir up the giftings. Hey, stir up the giftings. Hey, I activate them now. I activate them now in the name of Jesus. Hey, I thank you, oh God, that they will arise, oh God, and be the watchmen and the prayer warriors and the intercessors that you've called them to be. That I thank you, Lord, that prayer is not just for the intercessor. That prayer is not for the prayer warrior only, but prayer is for every child of God. So God, I thank you, Lord, that even those that say, I'm not an intercessor, I thank you, Lord, that they will desire prayer, that they will fall in love with prayer, that you will realign their prayer life. I thank you that every lie concerning prayer that they're believing, the lie that God does not hear me, the lie that God does not answer prayers, Father, I thank you now that those lies are broken off of them, and that truth, God, will invade their hearts and minds, that you are a God of answering prayers, that you hear us, oh God, that you said that you hear our prayers, oh God, and you answer them in the name of Jesus. Yo Roma Shata Karebe Shemaya Ia Roche Take Raba Shita Karosha Takaroshe Tekebe. Every stale prayer life, oh God. Every stale prayer life, God. I thank you now, Lord, that it's being reignited, that it's coming alive, that you're resurrecting it, oh God. Give them a deeper desire, a deeper love for prayer, a deeper love for prayer in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless your holy name. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I pray that you guys were blessed by today's episode. I want to encourage you, if you have not subscribed to this podcast, please hit that subscribe button. Also, if you can go and leave a rating, if you've been blessed by this podcast, please go leave a review, leave a rating. And I also encourage you to share this podcast episode with at least one person. If there's someone that you know desire to go deeper in prayer, that you believe that God is calling them deeper in prayer, that you will share this episode with them so that they may be blessed as well. I thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And until next time, bye-bye.